Tonight we're back in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, we're glad to be here tonight and to continue our message that we've been preaching for a couple years through the book of 1 John. But hopefully we'll be winding some things down here soon. We want to do verses 4 through 6 of chapter 4 tonight. We've been speaking specifically, if you'll recall, about the two different sides of this conflict that we're in. John has spent a lot of time discussing the fact that we are in a conflict, that there's two sides, there's two families, there's a spirit of darkness, there's a spirit of light, there's these conflicts in the world because of sin and because of the truth as well. And here in chapter 4, he's specifically talking about the fact that as believers, we are on the Lord's side. We're fighting a conflict for the Lord. The devil has his side. He has his infantry, as we said a few months ago when we preached that message. He has his infantry, his soldiers, his people that are also going out to do his bidding, and they have a spirit that is empowering them. It's the spirit of Antichrist. And tonight I wanted to go a little bit more detail into this. We're going to begin in verse number 3 and read to verse 6 just to kind of get the context. We're going to focus on verses 4 through 6 tonight. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 3. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Let's pray. Father, I just pray that you would bless now in these few short verses that we look at tonight. Lord, that we would understand the seriousness of what is going on in our times today. Yes, even in the professing church, even in those that claim to be Christians, Lord, our country around us and all the things that we see. And Father, I pray that we would understand that these are things that you said would happen in your word. And the Lord, we should be faithful to stand for you in the midst of it. Pray that you'd bless now your word in Christ's name. Amen. Now, as we looked at last time in verses 1 and 2, Satan has a mission. As he has sent out his false prophets throughout the world, he has the mission of telling the world that Jesus is not the Christ. Let's just separate the fact, drive that wedge between Jesus and Christ, between Jesus, a man, and God, who is God. Let's not believe that he is God. That is one of the main depictions that Satan endeavors to do as he sends out his false prophets. As they go out into the world, they deny that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. They deny that that man, Jesus, back in history, was actually God. And in reality, they're denying the sufficiency of Christ. That's what the message is. They deny the sufficiency of Christ for salvation, for other things. His work isn't good enough. You got to add some other things to it. The false prophets bring in these type of messages. Another thing that they denied is the revelation of Christ. They deny His sufficiency, they deny His revelation, this book, and they also deny morality and truth. And we spent some time talking about that last time. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. And as John writes in verse number 4, this spirit already exists in the world. It's here. But we have been able, verse number 4, to overcome that spirit, these false prophets, the spirit that drives these false prophets. The little children that are now in the family of God that John refers to in verse number 4. Ye are of God, little children. Those of us that have accepted Christ, those of us that have taken the truth of God's word and understood and entered the family of God, we have been able to now go out and discern the false prophets. We can listen to the message that is offered by the false prophets and we can read through it. We can understand that that message is false and we have overcome them. That word overcome in verse number 4 is in the perfect tense, which means there was a time in the past where you confronted the false prophet. Maybe you heard what they said. Maybe you heard the message of the world. Maybe you heard the message of modern Christianity or whatever it is, and you confronted that. You looked at it. You discerned it. You compared it to God's word, and you realized it was false. And from that point forward, you've had the victory over this spirit of Antichrist. Now, our Savior already gained the victory, but as a part of His family, we also can have that victory because we have one that is greater than Him. We're going to talk about that later tonight. Now, part of this overcoming that I wanted to focus on tonight, part of overcoming and being in this battle is to be able to recognize the enemy. Recognize the enemy that we are fighting. If you think back in history, some of the wars, perhaps maybe of this, our own country as well, you know, our armies have always usually are distinguished based on uniforms. You can go back and look at history books or look at pictures and things. And, you know, you're out there fighting somebody, and how do you know how to fight? Oh, the War for Independence. There's those red coat people out there, kind of not very smart to stand out in the middle of everything with a red coat. Here I am, I'm a target. So you could get the red coats, the Continental Army knew who to attack. There was a different color of uniform. Or the Civil War had the blue versus the gray, and on into history, you know, the camouflage, the green camouflage in the war, early World War I and II, and then other things that it's adjusted over time and changed. But, those, many times, the enemy's recognizable because the uniform is clear. But there have been also times in history where the enemy hasn't been recognizable. We've been talking in one of our classes about, the Vietnam War a little bit. We were talking about the Viet Cong soldiers that would disguise themselves. They would dress up just like civilians. They would look like everybody else. They would just kind of fit in. And they actually, the North Vietnamese took this massive offensive called the Tet Offensive. And they infiltrated all, maybe you studied this, they infiltrated all throughout South Vietnam. And they waited, everybody was in position. And on a particular day, a particular time period, they all began attacking at the same time. And the people didn't even know the enemy was right there. They infiltrated. I've even read accounts of these Viet Cong soldiers that were dressed just like civilians, and they would be walking through a funeral procession with coffins and everything, and everybody, oh, those poor people, you know, they think perhaps they're taking their loved ones out to the cemetery, and the coffins are full of weapons, ammunition, and all those kind of things, and they're just infiltrating right into the cities. North Vietnamese just getting set up, getting prepared, bringing all their weapons in, and they weren't recognizable. They looked like everybody else. They didn't have on a uniform that said, I'm from North Vietnam. I even think about, you know, the war on terror that we've been fighting for a few years here. You know, those men that flew those airplanes into the buildings, they didn't have on uniforms that said, you know, we are from Hamas or whatever, or we're Al-Qaeda terrorists. They just looked like, you know, hey, they're American people, or they're over here visiting or something. They just walked right onto the planes. I was reading, too, some of these places, they train the children how to be able to take on suicide vests and become suicide bombers, and they put them through these classes of how to teach them how to just look like everybody else, put this bomb on, go in, blow up people, and all those kind of things. And it's difficult to fight the battle when the enemy isn't clear. And that is exactly the situation that we have today spiritually in our world. Because Satan, he's sometimes kind of an elusive enemy. He doesn't just stand out here, or somebody doesn't come out and say, all right, I want everybody to know that I'm a false prophet tonight, and I'm going to be talking about atheism. No, a preacher wouldn't come into a church, most likely, of course, today. I wouldn't put it past them. It wouldn't come in and do those kind of things. They don't go around proclaiming that they're false prophets. They go around proclaiming that they're of God. We have the truth. We're right. God's spoken to me. God revealed some things to me. And you think about all the cults throughout history and all those little fragments of religion throughout history where people claimed that they had some little revelation from God. They didn't walk around saying they were false prophets. They may deep down in their heart have known that they made the whole thing up. But they would never admit that. And it's hard to discern the enemy that we have today. Even that famous or passage of scripture that we hear so many times, that Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. He is obviously a creature that is full of darkness, completely fallen in sin, but he doesn't want you to know that. He wants you to think he's good. He's light. He has truth. And that word transformed in the Greek there means he takes on a form that does not accurately represent what he really is. He really is darkness. He really is sin. But he appears to be. It's a false form. He appears to be one that has full of light. He changes deceptively so that we can't recognize the enemy. Now, in this spiritual battle that we're fighting in, there's a couple things to talk about. One part of the reason, I believe there's two parts of the reason, actually, of why sometimes we don't discern the enemy. Number one, obviously, is because that the enemy is deceptive. They don't put on the uniform of Satan and walk around so you can obviously see them. Ah, there, that's Satan, that's a false prophet. We're going to stay away from that. They're tricky. They're elusive. It's hard to know. You have to actually think and discern things. But a second part of the reason why so many times we don't understand, or we are deceived and tricked, and you think about our country, I tell you, I think that a lot of our churchianity, people just, I'm telling you, they're just coming to church because it's just fun to do, and their lives haven't changed, and our churches are full of just people that just, they're worldly. They're full of Satan's system, his world system. But they claim, yeah, I come to church, yeah, I'm Christian, all this. You know, you can claim to be a Christian and a Muslim and all kinds of things at the same time today, and everybody think that's great. We're messed up inside of our thinking with this, But one of the reasons is, first, yes, Satan is deceptive. But secondly, we've turned away from God's Word. And when we turn away from God's Word, we lose the ability to discern. Our country's thrown this book out. We don't want to talk about it. We don't teach our children about it. We don't put it in the schools anymore. We want to teach them a socialist agenda that is devoid of God's Word, because if they studied the Bible, they would obviously learn the truth. They'd be able to see through those things. So I think there's a great weakness of not understanding God's Word today. But John tells us here, getting back to chapter 4, that there are two different spirits, obviously. They're behind two different sides of this battle. Spirit of Antichrist behind the false prophets. The Spirit of God is the force and power behind the children of God. As we talked about many times, when you accept Christ as your Savior, He gives you the gift of His Spirit. And His Spirit enables you to understand God's Word. His Spirit guides and directs you. And in verse number 4, as we said, the Spirit that is in us as believers, the Spirit that is in us as the children of God, is greater than the spirit of the Antichrist. Now, the spirit of the Antichrist is simply the devil. Now, think about this. Think logically here. We've got the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God is greater. Why? Because God is the Creator. You think about this. God created Satan, Lucifer, and he fell, and we now refer to him as the devil or whatever. He is a creature. Can he be greater than the Creator? No. He was created by God, but he thinks he can go over him. It's very foolish, this thought. But he thinks that he can be better, he can be higher, he can be greater than the one who created him. And Satan believes this. He has this attitude. He pushes this attitude in his domain, and he has begun to convince man that we also are greater than our Creator. I believe that's one of the reasons why, I'm telling you, evolution is a satanic movement. It's a satanic philosophy in which man is going to be convinced that they're greater than their Creator. Well, if God is up there, and if there is a God, and if there is a Creator, He must have evolved to become like that so I can do the same thing. I can evolve, I can get there, and I can be in charge, and I can be a God. That's what Satan believed. I can be like God. I can just take right into that position. It may take some time, but I'll get there. And I believe one of the pushes of evolution in our country and around the world, its acceptance, is Satan is pushing this attitude upon man that, yes, you can be greater. Don't this Creator stuff. Oh, he probably evolved to get there, and you can do it too. You can be greater, just like him. Now, this verse reassures us as believers that we are on the winning side. We're on the winning side. It is simply by virtue of the fact that our Creator is greater than all that was created, including the devil, including Satan. He's a creature. We have the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God is far greater than the spirit of the Antichrist, which was a creation. Now, since we can't visibly see the spirit of Antichrist, we can't go out and say, oh, I see it. It's floating through here. You know, I see the spirit of Antichrist. Or I can't visibly see the Holy Spirit. Oh, I see Him. He's moving around. He's there and here, and He's moving in different... We can't see the Spirit of God. He's invisible. We can't see the Spirit of Antichrist. It's an invisible thing. So therefore, we can possibly be confused as to who is the enemy, because Satan's deceptive. He's trying to fit in. He's infiltrating. But there are some signs that we can use to discern the enemy. And I want to talk tonight about three signs. We can call them badges of the enemy uniform, whatever you want to call them. These three badges, these three signs, that we can look for, and we can know that is the spirit of Antichrist. I'm avoiding that. This is the Spirit of God. That is what I'm going to follow. We can discern, but again, it boils down to this, dear people. If we don't know this book, we won't discern anything. We'll fall for it every time. And whether or not our schools have thrown it out, whether or not our country doesn't believe in God's Word, it's just a token. We put our hands on it to swear in a president, and then we turn around and ignore it. Well, that's fine. That's what they're going to do. That's the spirit of Antichrist, by the way. Oh, look, we use the Bible. And then we ignore it. It's deceptive. But whether or not the world does or follow it, or what they do with rejecting the Bible, we better follow this book. We better spend some time studying and understanding what is in here, because if we don't, the enemy's going to come up, and we're not going to even have a clue that that's the enemy. Oh, that's the Viet Cong. They're bringing in weapons and ammunitions and all these things, and we won't even have, oh, you know, we don't know who they are. We can't discern the enemy if we don't know God's Word. But there's three things to look for that John gives us here, beginning in verse number 5. Let's read the verse again. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Three phrases I want to talk about tonight. The first thing, here's the first sign. Who do they follow? We can call this their commitment badge. I've tried to actually work out some kind of alliteration here. There's three badges we're going to talk about, and they all begin with C. A commitment badge. Who are they committed to? That's the idea in the Greek here. Who are they following? Where do they come from? In the Greek, it is literally, they are out of the world. They originated in the world. They didn't originate in the church. They didn't originate in God's people. They originated in the world. They're out of the world. Their allegiance is to the world. And they're going to come. You know, you think about how we are just so allegiant, you know, to our regions where we grew up and things like that. We have allegiances, you know, or Gower, you're going to become a Yankees fan. Never. You know, never, ever. That would be, he'd probably run his truck off a cliff or something. But, you know, we kind of have allegiances. I like that team, or I like this geography or whatever. You know, it's just a natural thing. Where we came from, we typically have some type of allegiance to that. These false prophets came from the world. Their allegiance, I don't care what they say, it's to the world. They're not going to change. They can sneak into the church, and they're not going to suddenly change and have their allegiance to God's Word. Their allegiance is still back there. Don't be fooled. Where is their commitment? It's to their spiritual derivation. It was out of the world. That's what they're committed to. They're dedicated to the world that is behind them, the system of Satan that is behind them, the system that they love and that they support. They may pretend to be out of God. They may pretend that they love God's Word, and they have all the great words to speak, and, you know, they get, you know, so emotional about it. They have the right pronunciations and all these things, and it just sounds so good and flowery, and we can talk so soft, and God's going to bless and love you. If everybody said no to you, God will say yes. Let me melt down into the floor, and you can use me for butter for the biscuits tonight or something. I don't know. But they sound so great. Their derivation and their true allegiance is still back in the world. Don't be deceived. James chapter 4, verse 4 reminds us of something. It says, those who love the world are what? The enemy of God. What's, James, you don't talk strong like that. There's two sides to the battle. You're either of the world's spirit or you're of God's spirit. That's it. And if you're trying to be over here, James calls you an adulterer and adulteress. Remember that? You can't have friendship with the world and still, oh, I love God too. That doesn't go together. If you love the world, eventually it will come out as your true allegiance. You watch that false prophet. You watch it. That commitment badge they're wearing, it's going to show up one day. I wanted you to turn to a passage. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Turn over to just a few pages. Hold your finger and John will be right back. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at verse number 10. For Demas, we know this passage, hath forsaken me. Why? Having loved this present world. Now, if we were to look at Demas, if we were to look at Colossians chapter 4, verse 14, we're not going to turn there. If we were to look at Philemon, verse 24, we would understand that these epistles that were written before 2 Timothy, Demas is called a fellow laborer. Demas is involved in the work of the churches, and Paul is recommending him and talking about him and impressed and glad that he's a fellow laborer with him. And then at the end of his ministry, as Paul's writing these prison epistles, these last words to Timothy, Demas forsook me, loving this present world. You can go for years pretending, fitting in. I'm on God's side. I'm on God's side. Go for years like that, but one day that commitment badge is going to show out. The false prophet can't help it. That's in his heart. That's where his allegiance is. He may preach the most wonderful messages, and you may be so emotionally just overtaken, and oh wow, but you better watch out for that too. Because if you're being emotionally feeling wonderful, you're probably listening to a false prophet. It will come out. The badge of allegiance will show. The workers of Satan came out of the world. They're indoctrinated in the camps of Satan. They're indoctrinated in the worldly philosophy of Satan. And today it comes out in so many ways. The socialism, the evolution, the atheism, all these different ways that these spies are, so to speak, are infiltrating the camp of God, leading astray those who don't follow the truth. Their badge of allegiance, look for it. Their commitment badge, it may be hidden now, but it'll eventually come out. They are of the world. Don't be deceived. Something's going to happen that's going to uncover that. Secondly, another badge of these enemy false prophets. Verse number 5. Who do they speak of? Is the question asked. First, it was who do they follow? What's their commitment badge? Secondly, who do they speak of? Their communication badge. What do they talk about? It's tricky. You got to listen. You got to go to this book and compare it. Does it match up or does it not? Remember the famous old saying, verses of Scripture, we could look at hundreds of them. Out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth speaketh. Where's your allegiance? That old world they were out of? Eventually, this is going to match. You're going to hear it. If they're truly out of the world, then you have to gauge all their words against the Scriptures to see if they line up. No matter how hard they try, the worldly side, the devil's soldier will eventually spew out what's down in his heart. You put him under enough pressure, you put him in enough situations, what is down in there, the world, it's going to come out. You can speak nice to people and pretend that everything is just wonderful and okay, and the whole time this conflict's going on in your heart. You're just getting angry. You're getting bitter. You're getting rebellious. All these things just coming. And finally, something happens and it's just, just spew it all out. Infect and spill it all on everybody. Your words of hatred. Your words of how terrible things are. Your words against everybody. They can pretend for a while, but one day their words will catch them. Remember what the devil does? He takes error and he takes truth and he puts it together. And so when the false prophet is talking, you may hear the truth part that he's saying, but you better keep on listening because that error part in there is going to come out. Are you wise enough? Are you grounded in God's Word enough to discern that? Not just, well, everything looks great. It was on TBN. It was on the church channel. It's got to be true. Let's listen to God's Word and compare. It's sad that we have to do that today, but in a world of deception that we live in, we must. Those who are out of the world, they're wearing that commitment badge of the world. You may not see it, but if you have a commitment badge to the world, you will have a communication badge to the world. It may not be seen at first, but it will come out. You know, the world's language is easy to diagnose. You know that all you have to listen to? You know, if you want to understand maybe a teenager's problem or somebody's problem is listen. Just listen. Here's the language of the world. It's a language of rebellion against authority. It's a language of grumbling and complaining all the time, nonstop. It's a language of bitterness. It's a language of perversion. It's a language of hatred. That's what the world's communication is. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world. Whatever the world's philosophy is, it's in them because they're committed to it, and it comes out right here. And that's what they communicate. It's slick at first. It's tricky. You may not be able to see it. And they couch it in these little Bible terms. And they couch it in loving and all this stuff. And they use all these terms to intimidate you and make you feel bad if you don't believe like they do and all this stuff. And it's just smooth words. And it's an evil message. Don't fall for it. Hibbert, one of these, I like his Greek commentaries. He said this about the enemy troops. He said, in adjusting and formulating their message to conform to the spirit and interest of the world, they distort and deform the message of God. What do they say? They take God's words and they're like, well, I don't believe that, but I believe the world. But can we kind of match these together? We want to fit it to the spirit of the world. We want to fit it to the interest. We got to be on the cutting edge of this. You know, we can't have this old-fashioned Bible preaching. We've got to get the cutting edge stuff out there and talk about all these other things that are aside from the truth of God's Word. And so we take God's Word and we twist it a little bit and deform it here, shape it right here, carve this little bit out, smooth the edges here, get some sandpaper, fix it all up, and we have this beautiful message to present, and it's a lie. They're committed to the world. They're going to communicate about the world. They're trying to draw people in. Draw them into their side of the message. They don't want you to know the Spirit of God. They want you to know the Spirit of Antichrist. The world is their source, and that's where their words come from. Third thing tonight, not just who they follow, their commitment badge, not just what they speak of, their communication badge, but who do they attract? I've called this, I like this word, so I said it may not even be a real word, comradeship badge. Who are their comrades? Boy, you can tell a lot about somebody by their comrades, their friends, their people, you know, their posse, as they say today, you know, got my peeps around me and my posse and all this stuff. Well, this goes back to that old cliche, birds of a feather, flock together, all that kind of thing. You're committed to the same thing. You speak the same thing. What are you going to do? You're going to act together. You're going to listen to each other. Notice the end of verse 5. Or they are of the world. They're committed to it. They speak of the world. They communicate about it. And the world heareth them. Who do they attract? The people with the same mindset. You think of the hundreds of people that just go for the churchianity, the mega churches, all that stuff. Just think about it. They're attracted to it because that's really what's in their heart. They don't know God's Word. They go for the smooth message. When you hear the message of the world, a couple things are going to happen. A couple options. You're either going to be repulsed by it, or you're going to begin to think, that sounds pretty good. What's wrong with doing that? What's wrong with having this? Begin making little excuses. Many have gone astray, or maybe I should say many have had their true colors revealed. Maybe that's a better way to put it. When they simply begin to think, that's not so bad. Man, these people, why are they making such a big deal about this? This isn't a big deal. This is not a problem. You're beginning to go astray, beginning to walk down that path and be attracted to this message. The world heareth them. John writes that the world heareth the false prophets, and as the false prophet communicates his message, those of the world think, this is great. Let's rally around this message. And then what's the false prophet do? Boy, I've got a big following. I'm energized. I'm going to go keep going here. This is wonderful. And they begin to feed off of each other, but they're both of the world. You know, the message of God's Word, as I said, has a way of bringing up different reactions. I think of Paul after Mars Hill when he was in Athens. He said some of them laughed at him. They made fun of him. Some said, we'll hear you again later. They postponed it. But some took the Word and believed. That's always a reaction you're going to have when God's Word is given. But the message of the false prophet is always overwhelmingly received by the world. When the false prophet speaks to his group of worldly people, they don't say, well, I don't know, I'll think about it. They love it. They accept it. They go for it. They want to continue in it. One Bible commentator, an older one named Herschel Hobbes, he said this, listen to this. Because the world goes to hear what it wants to hear anyway. Okay? When the world goes to church, they're going to hear what they want to hear anyway. I've heard of people before, I can't believe the pastor said that. Well, you didn't listen to the entire past message, the entire series, whatever. People come, maybe they'll come once every couple of months. I can't believe that church believes that. Well, you just missed 2 months of preaching, so how would you know? Because we come to hear what we want to hear. That's the worldly heart. Instead of, Lord, I'm ready to hear what you need me to hear. And I'm ready to accept that. Because the world goes to hear what it wants to hear anyway, it is no compliment to a preacher to say, he speaks our language. Or, you know, he's pretty good. That's not a compliment from the world. It is condemnation when the world says, he is one of us. He is my kind of preacher. When the world says that to a preacher, you better watch out, preacher. You better look, am I one of the false prophets here? You know, the deception can be so bad that you don't even know it. I think sometimes that some of the false prophets in our world don't even know that they're false prophets. I remember my dad and I've said this before. I tell the high school, we used to watch this one preacher named Rod Parsley. Maybe some of you heard of Rod Parsley. Whew. That man is charismatic through and through. And he's out there, brother God! You know, and he has all the words and the sweat's just beaming off of his forehead. And he has this look like he's just going to rip your eyes off. Tractor beams or something. The guy is crazy. But he's up there healing people and he runs around and he throws these Holy Ghost fireballs and people start falling down everywhere and all this stuff and crazy stuff. He really, I believe that in his heart of hearts, maybe not deep down, but somewhere down there, he has convinced himself that he's actually doing right. Sometimes these false prophets don't even know because they've gone in their deception for so long, they're deceived. The heart's deceitful and desperately wicked. They don't even know their own heart. They think, we're on God's side. Boy, we healed tons of people and we threw out this and that and the other and we're going to take a revolution, windstorm, jubilee. He has all these harvest jubilee words and all kinds of crazy stuff. We're going for it. He doesn't even know what side he's on. This goes back to 2 Timothy. We're going to close here in a minute. Go to 2 Timothy again. I know I had you go there earlier. Go back to 2 Timothy. And I've said this verse before. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 3. We'll start at verse number 2. I love this passage. You know what the preacher should do? Preach the word. Wow. You mean I don't get to preach the philosophy? I don't get to preach all the little new things that are coming out? No, preach the word. It's right here. Because the people are going to be deceived if you don't preach the word. And if they don't learn the word, preach it. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Where's the doctrine come from? The word. For the time will come. Why should we be so emphatic about God's word? Because the day is coming when the people will not endure sound doctrine. They're going to hate God's word. But they're going to, after their own lust, after their own desires is what that means, they're going to heap to themselves teachers. In other words, they're going to gather around themselves people, false prophets that have itching ears. The people have the itching ears and the false prophets can scratch them for you. Oh, let me get that. We'll make you feel real good. We're going to preach about love all the time. We're never going to preach about sin. That's just too hateful. Preach the word, all of it. These are the days we are. And people love the false prophets because they're of the world and they want to be coaxed and emotionally feel good. I want to walk out and say, oh, I feel so wonderful after church today. Ooh.
Sometimes I don't feel too good after hearing the message of God's word. How about you? Sometimes I feel like, boy, I'm in trouble. I got to go pray somewhere and get some stuff straightened out.
But we don't want that. We got to feel good all the time.
We face a deceptive enemy. Deceptive. And we need to use these three things that John gives us to help discern it. You know, many in America, you know, it seems that they don't even worry about discerning between truth and error. They just blindly accept whatever they hear, whatever makes them feel good, go for it. But as believers, we've got to investigate. We've got to snoop. We've got to be detectives. Look for those badges. Look for the communication, the commitment, the comradeship. Look for it. It'll come out. The world thinks emotionally. They just like the message. They take it. The message, just what does the world take? Do what you want. Live in rebellion. Make yourself feel good, but have the name of Christ with it. It's okay. You're right here in 2 Timothy 4. Let's go over to chapter 3. I'm not going to read all these verses, but this is the perilous times that Paul talks about. Perilous times. Look at verse 4. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form. A form. Does that mean they have godliness? No. They got a form. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. What are we supposed to do? He says to Timothy, turn away from them. You got to know God's word to discern it and turn away from it. Because if you don't, here's what happens, verse 6. For of this sort are they which creep into houses. They lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning, never able to come to the truth. I've heard some interpretations of that. I'm not quite sure. You know, women, who did Satan deceive? Sorry, he deceived Eve. In other words, I look at that and I say, emotional people. Our world is full of emotional people. That's all they care about. Themselves and how good they look in front of people. It's all about me. And I'm so emotional about it. Everything's just so dramatic. You're going to get carried away because you're emotional. And you know how you get to the point of being emotional as a Christian? I'm not talking about emotional as a person. I'm talking about spiritually. You know how you get spiritually emotional in the wrong way? Is when you put down something that's not emotional and something that's objective and something that stabs you in the heart and says, that's right and that's wrong and there's no emotion about it. That's right. That's wrong, period. But we don't like that. So we're emotional. So what happens? Those that have the form of godliness and deny the power thereof, spirit of Antichrist, that's what it is. They lead you away. I'm going to stop after I read verse 6 and say a couple sentences. I promise. Listen to this. We are of God. Are you glad for that tonight? Are you glad that you're in the family of God? Because here's something. Verse 6. He that knoweth God heareth us. Who's us? John, one of the writers of the Bible, through the inspiration of God. If you're of God, you're going to hear God. If you're not of God, then you're not going to hear God. Boy, that sounds simple, doesn't it? We make that complicated. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Tonight, what are you listening to? How do you respond, young people, older people? How do you respond? What are you listening to? What is more important to you? What the world says, what your friends say, what the TV says, what the media says, what the music says? Is that more important? Is that what you're following? Because if you are, guess what? News alert, you're of the world. And you've been deceived by the false prophets. But if you take what God says and you put it high in your heart, higher than what the world says, then you're of God. And that's black and white. Father, thank you for the truth of Scripture that just cuts it right down the middle. This is truth and that's error. Forgive us, Father, for our emotional ways many times of just being spiritually unstable. And Lord, it's because we don't ground ourselves in your word enough. Father, I pray that we would have wisdom to look for these badges, to look for what sounds like the world, looks like the world. It's probably of the world. Give us wisdom, Father, not to fall astray, not to be led astray. Satan would love to have every one of our young people, every one of our fathers and mothers and grandparents, he would love to just destroy their lives, pull them away from the truth of God's Word. But Father, help us to keep on in your Word, because the Word defeats that old spirit of Antichrist. We believe in the Creator God. And we've entered into His family, and we have the victory as a result. Help us, Father, to live in that power and that strength as we face each day throughout our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.